heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Nothing can be more absurd than the practice that prevails in our country of men and women not following the same pursuits with all their strengths and with one mind. For thus the state, instead of being whole, is reduced to half. That is one quote, people. And who said that? Well, the great philosopher Plato is who said that. Think about that. If our power is reduced to half because we don't recognize and pursue our strengths with one mind. And that really is the power of men and women with gender when it all comes together. You know, when you think in today's terms, what do you think is the biggest challenge facing women in the United States today? Let me give you a quick list of a few things that are at the top of many studies I've looked at on this topic. To me, some of the hot buttons are the lack of women in positions of power, okay, is one point. Patriarchy, not enough women at the table. Sexism, racism, and economic inequality. Access to equal opportunity. The lack of respect for caregiving, that's always one. Navigating career and motherhood, so the balance between the two, of course. And then many people recognize misogyny as another point that comes up. Today, friends, we're going to have a bigger conversation on conservative women in these areas here. And we'll do it with three strong voices here that we'll bring on here. Avon Strong, Karen Schoen, and Linda Martinelli. And as we dive into it here, let's open it up, Karen, about education. And let me just tell folks that Karen is a columnist contributor at America Out Loud. She's an educator, a dean, a retired teacher, an activist focused on saving America. That's one of the things I always love about Karen's message. It's always about the bottom line. Karen, as an educator yourself and someone who's spent their life trying to set the record straight, what's the biggest challenge with women in education today?
I would have to say the lies that they are being told and the lies that they are absorbing and their inability to, well, and this goes back to education, their inability to have common sense, their inability of self-respect. Once you get self-respect and common sense back on yourself, it doesn't matter what is said outside of you. If you can't respect yourself, then nobody else is going to respect you. And all of that, me, comes from a well-rounded education, which unfortunately we are not getting.
You bring up a very valid point, Karen. A lot of people don't have that inner confidence. Do women struggle more with inner confidence as a general rule than men, do you think?
Personally, I think they struggle about the same. The problem is in our in the goal for identity politics, they separate men and women and push things on men and women. I love when they say that women are the minority. Women really aren't. We're the majority.
That's right.
So how are we a minority and a majority at the same time? It's our lack of knowledge and lack of what we should be taught in school, which is the skill set to survive. And that's not being taught. Someone asked me the other day, how come in the government they're continually doing the same thing over and over again, and even though the program is not working, what's wrong with the people? And the answer is they're not capable of finding another solution. That's what we have taken away in our education.
Well, Ava, so we hear the minority and the majority. Karen just made me think a lot with that statement because I've never heard it put that way. But you're right when she says that, well, in essence, you know, they refer to women as the minority, as a minority specifically, but they really are the majority when you think about it in those terms. That is kind of strange, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. It's strange. But it's changing. I can see it shifting and changing
women are more and more involved in especially local political things like school board and things like that. That's so very, very important. And here's an ironic thing that I need to point out. Most teachers are female. However, most of them are teaching this leftist indoctrination in the classroom. Mm. And this disturbs me greatly because as conservative women, this is where we need to make our mark right here. Okay. Wow. This is it. This is where you lay down the gauntlet and you say, no, that textbook will not be taught in this school. Okay. You have to really, really be strong and have a backbone. And yeah, it is tough. It's tough to stand up for what is right. And you sometimes you do have to fight, but you know, we have to do it. It's the only answer.
All right, Linda, so why are more liberal women teachers, as Ava just points out, and they're teaching, again, liberal indoctrination into these policies in the school system versus conservative women in education? That's a great question. That's a great point. Why is that?
Well, I think that that's who ends up being hired when they're looking for teachers. And it's not just the women that are not conservative, it's all of them.
They, the professors, you know, and all of them, right?
The
men and women.
The stats are just absolutely incredible if you look at how few conservative teachers or professors there are in our country. And that is, I think, Ava's absolutely on mark, where we really have to make the change there. But we also have to make the change at home, because parents are allowing the school districts to put in these curriculums and to teach their kids this hogwash that they're teaching. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you just look at the things that California has done recently in their educational arena, it's, I mean, taking the history out, teaching that capitalism is a bad thing. They're mandating sex education for young kids, and the parents do not even have the right to opt their kids out of it. I mean, since when do parents not have the right to opt their kids out of things that they don't want them taught in school? And parents are standing by and they're not doing anything about this, which is why they get away with it.
I mean, I don't really even understand why more conservatives are not teaching. And it's not just at the elementary level or the lower school level. It's university level, clearly. It's throughout the entire school system. Why does it go more that way? What, are conservatives just not applying for the job?
That's basically what it is. And also many conservatives believe in themselves and I can do. So what are they doing? They're creating jobs. They are creating small businesses. They're working. Education, going into education by many is looked at, oh, another government closed-end job. So it depends on the motivation, but also there's another trick that's involved, and that is, by the way, would you like to get rid of your student loans? Well, if you have a student loan and you go into education, we'll eliminate your student loan. There are offers like that made constantly as well. But I believe that conservative women learn early on in individualism, and they learn that they can do themselves. Many of them are homeschooling, thank God. Many of them do not buy into the liberal mantra. In Florida, we're very fortunate. Our Commissioner of Education has agreed to revisit all of the curricula, and we will be working on replacing what they call civics, what is real civics and government classes.
So, and Texas is doing the same thing as well.
Yes.
And
Alabama.
Rewarding teachers for doing a good job rather than having tenure and just keeping anybody no matter the job that they're doing. And I think that that's such a huge step forward in the possibilities for the future of our children, because they are being brainwashed in school. And I have to say that just last night I put out an ad for an employment position, you know, on a site. I am horrified at the applications, so-called applications that I'm getting, that these kids coming out of school literally can't write anything. They can't even honestly put their own name properly on a resume. And it's embarrassing what we are not teaching our children in school, which is how to get along in life instead of all this stuff about political correctness and lack of history. They need to be teaching the things that are actually going to help them move their life forward.
This week, mm-hmm. there was a survey, I think about 58 to 60% of millennials favor socialism. You've seen that survey probably because it's all over the place. Okay. So mm-hmm. we're mm-hmm. talking, that's a startling number. And this is the current generation we're speaking about. This is it's the generation in power. Let me put it that way. And mm-hmm. we're talking almost 60% would favor some type of socialism. So here's the thing. When I hear everybody's thoughts initially in opening up here about conservative women in education or conservative people in general in education, Karen kind of said something earlier about that a lot of conservatives get into business or they want to make money or they maybe, and I wonder if that's the impetus as to why they don't get into education. Because let's face it, education doesn't pay a lot of money. I'm sure Karen can speak to that probably. It's that you don't get wealthy, right? Yeah, you don't get rich from being an educator, from being a teacher specifically. You get rich from being a politician, so you can steal everybody blind, Ava. But that's another story, right?
95% of the curricula is socialist, then why should we be surprised at that number? If all we're teaching is one side of the coin, then what do people know? They know one side. They don't know the other side. So the idea of education was to teach a variety and give the people the tools to make their own choices. We're not doing that. We're telling them what to think, how to think, and what to wear, how to wear it, what to eat, how to eat it, and what we or what they believe, because they are smarter and richer than the average person, and everybody should be listening to them. And really, it's only a power play.
Over the weekend, I had dinner with a good friend of mine who now lives in Florida, and she is a retired school teacher. And I asked her about the last few years of teaching. It drove her to retire early, so I wanted to get some input on her about that. She was very upset by some of the textbooks that she was given to teach with. Many of the textbooks had incorrect information about American history. They actually mentioned Donald Trump, and they said horrible things about him. They actually mentioned...
Imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you the name of the textbook. It's By the People is the name of it. Hmm. And this is the new stuff that they're teaching now. And this is the second thing that she mentioned that was just so frustrating to her. Cell phones in the classroom, okay? These kids are on their cell phones. None of them are paying attention. And the minute she turned her back to write on the board, on the whiteboard or something, mm-hmm. I mean, there would be, you know, kids getting out of their seats, moving around, talking, doing all sorts of things. So there really was no teaching going on at all. And, you know, these are all things we have to look at here and say, what are we doing? Why can't we make people put their cell phone in a basket in the back of a class, you know?
Yeah. So the parents have told the teachers that they can't discipline their kids. And believe me, I was not one of those parents. I told the teachers, if you need to discipline my kid, you discipline my kid. But so many times now, you know, the parents come back and they defend their kid for doing something wrong. So teachers are afraid to do anything. And the teacher is the one, just like law enforcement, are the one who gets punished now. So we still have to take it back to that the parents have to talk about these things like by the book. Okay, you have to have the parents get involved and say, no, this is not correct. This is not what you're teaching our kids. Parents are people that are paying the tax money for those schools that their kids are going to. They should have a say, but they're using schools as a babysitter and they're not paying attention to what their kids are learning. And that's, I think, where the problem starts. And then that allows these types of educators who come in on the far left to do all the things that they're doing because the parents are not paying attention to what's being done. This can't be forced down people's throat if they rebel against it, but they're not rebelling against it, and that's where we need to go.
Okay, they're not rebelling on it because they have no idea what's going on, and they think what's going on in school is what they learned.
But they should know what's going on in school.
Of course they should, but when no textbooks come home and the child is told, don't tell your parents because they don't know anything, and the parents get frustrated because they can't help do a stupid math problem that should be done in 2 seconds, So you have created a situation that pits the parent against the student, and the school then is the one that is doing this because the objective of the school is to become the parent.
Right.
And in the meantime, you're teaching the parents to be part of the silent majority. Go shut up. We know what better than you because we're smarter than you. So you don't know what you're talking about. Just be quiet and listen. And then we put them in a situation that if they disagree, we ostracize them. Maybe so not only does mommy get, put in the doghouse, but the kid then is a result of what mommy did, and everybody in school knows what mommy did, and your mother is crazy and blah, blah, blah. So you are instilling that same type of behavior. There are no boundaries. And the conservatives, many of them, are homeschooling. They're pulling their kids mm-hmm. out of school.
Exactly.
So we have a core of conservatives who are doing the right thing, but as I think it was Ava said, many of them are even blocked from becoming right. educated. Right. If you have three or four people applying for the same job, they're going to pick the one that fits with their MO, not
somebody outside. Well, then my answer back to you then, Karen, is this. Then my answer back to you is then you deserve what you get.
You're right.
50% of the so-called parents are now divorced. Okay,
right.
So
that's right.
We have 50% of the kids are in single parent homes. And this is another thing I have to bring up here. Feminism, the radical feminists, are destroying families in this country.
Yeah.
And you hear Hillary Clinton and you hear Barack Obama, they really stoke this fire, okay? It takes a village to raise your child. You're not raising your child, okay?
That's
you
it.
Didn't build that. You didn't build that. The government did that for you. Other people did that for you. The poor people did that for you. You didn't build anything. This kind of thinking is what I call Marxism, okay?
That's exactly right. That's what exactly perfect. That is the tenet of Marxism, to eliminate the family mm-hmm. and replace it with school. So when you're teaching that and you're doing that over and over again, and the parent is told, the school knows better, shut up, and the school knows better, eventually the parent thinks the school knows better.
The entire education system has changed, but I think the argument still is, I still hear people saying, well, you know, they're being liberalized in the schools and the universities and the elementary system. But yet, and you know, Ava, it's the same question we bring up all the time and all these other factors I continue to point out, that we're the conservatives in this fight. And yet, what I am beginning to see, a system to this, Ava, where conservatives love to complain and bitch all day long about what they don't have, but they're not willing to get in and fight for the game, just like in the social media outlets and the rest of the stuff out there. They sit and talk a big story, but quite frankly, I think they sit on their asses and do nothing about it.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio. And you know, the other point to the whole thing, to wrap up where we were just a moment ago with the education, I'll be straight with you. I mean, we're definitely going down the wrong road here. You know, my two kids who are teenagers now, and they come in and they're in high school, and they can't have a conversation in school about politics. Now, these are kids in high school. So the point is that they can't talk about it because the entire school is indoctrinated in liberal politics. I mean, not just the teachers, but the they say the entire body of the school. And then you see the reports that say almost about 60% believe a socialism is going to be the way of the world, that we have these conversations, and yet there's no answer except we bitch and complain all day long about the same stuff. Tell me I'm wrong. Linda, why are conservatives involved in anything? Talk to me. Talk to me, sister. I'm listening.
I think conservatives are involved in a lot of things.
Why? Why? Are they involved in social media? Are they involved in colleges? Are they involved in the teachers? What are they involved in? They're out making money?
They're employing people. And you know what, Malcolm? We have an effect also on people because, you know, as an employer, I have people that I employ, that I'm sure that I have an effect on, and we have good effects. Would I love to see more in education? Absolutely. We absolutely need them. And I think that the governors that we just spoke about with Governor Abbott and the governors in Florida and some other states that are making changes to education, whereby we can pay people in the same capitalistic way that we pay employees by measuring their performance, I think that that's going to draw more conservatives.
Well, that's the answer. But all right, let's now tell everybody you're listening to Linda Martinelli here. Linda is an entrepreneur, a business executive. I love to always say this. She's a bull rider enthusiast, right, Lynn? And a show host here.
Well, I raised the bulls.
I know, but I love that. You're a bull rider enthusiast. I can say that, can I? Or is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
So you love it. I always put that out there because it's so cool. I mean, And we're speaking again here. We've got Karen Schoen and Ava Armstrong on with us here. And we're talking here about conservative women on education, accountability, and running for political office, which we've saved for the end because that's going to be a real fiery one, I know. Here, but okay, so Linda, let me turn it over to you about accountability. And I know you're passionate about this. In fact, you just wrote an article about it. And where you talk about compassion does not equal accountability, which is a great point. Let me just throw it to you now.
I mean, I think that one of the biggest things that we are missing in society in America is accountability. And what we have is our politicians, our schools, our parents are not holding people accountable. People are not making themselves accountable to anything. So here's some examples of that. I mean, you take the homeless situation where nobody has to be accountable for getting themselves off the street. We all have to, you know, be responsible for that. Nobody has to be accountable for their behaviors for anything, for their behavior in school, their behaviors on the streets, their criminal behavior. We want to be compassionate. We want to call them returning residents. We want to call them all kinds of other politically correct names. But we used to hold people accountable for their actions, which was really the broken windows program that we had in policing, where you would have the smallest crimes were prosecuted, therefore you didn't get bigger crimes. And that worked amazingly. Well, now our misguided politicians are being compassionate to everybody. Our judges are being compassionate. We're letting criminals out of jail to do what? To re-victimize all of the innocent citizens that are doing the right thing. And we are going in the wrong direction with this. We need to enforce accountability in ourselves and in one another for our actions. And so many things would be changed in this country if we did that. I mean, just really everything would be changed if everybody had to actually be held accountable for what they do.
Yeah. Well, you're really talking about more of a, quite frankly, Linda, that sounds like more of a conservative doctrine. Personal responsibility, obviously, is what we're talking about, rather than the liberal socialist doctrine, which is the state is involved or responsible for everything I do, and they'll provide for us, you know, right? Big Uncle Sam there, right?
That's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Well, let's take like what's happening in Calzuela right now, you know, where you used to live, but moved the hell out of there. They now call them what? Justice involved persons. What is that? San Francisco, they're doing that now?
Yep, justice involved persons. Yeah, because we don't want to put a name tag on them, make them have a scarlet letter, and tell people what they did. Yet, I as a citizen have a right to know that I'm in the presence of somebody that, you know, could be threatening to me.
Yeah. Words matter. Okay, this is one of my favorite topics. Okay.
All right.
I love how the left does this. They pretend that let's call this something else. Okay. And then they treat it differently. No, words matter. Okay. I refuse for one thing, on Twitter especially, but anywhere I write, I refuse to use the words of the left. And if all of us did that, guess what? We wouldn't be using their words. Mm-hmm. So we have to kind of band together and say, I don't call that a sanctuary city. Right. I call that an illegal city, okay? This right. should be no sanctuary for illegal people. We're going down this road with the left, and you know what it is? This is what the bottom line is. Conservatives are just too polite, okay?
Is that what it is, Ava?
It is. We've been taught by our mothers and fathers and, you know, and in school and so forth, we need to be quiet.
Well, I have an answer to you. Let's invite mm-hmm. them all on the show here over time, and I'll rough them all up, Ava, okay?
I'd love to. I would love to roll it down. I'm telling you, I'd love
well,
to
Well, let's ask Karen, are conservatives too polite? Are they too polite, Karen?
Well, it's in a way, yes, and in a way, no. It's the way they're being taught. Originally, we were taught in individualism, and we were taught in a fact-based society. Facts mattered. Facts counted. And as it switched into emotion, mm-hmm. it now becomes harder for you to say, I don't want, I don't like, I'm not doing, because the response is always, you're mean-spirited, you're awful, you don't care, you're not compassionate. When in reality, it has nothing to do with that, because conservatives believe that if you, the individual, become great unto yourself and right. get together with other great individuals, you will have phenomenal things.
Well, what Karen, to your point, Karen, it's the same thing when you're playing in a sports team. They give everybody a trophy now. Everybody gets a trophy of some
exactly.
sort. Yeah.
So we are right. teaching to mediocrity. You're teaching to the lowest and slowest, and there's no progress. And then you're not only you're filling the facts instead of with facts, you're filling them with emotion. Mm-hmm. So imagine coming in, you know, being if you don't think exactly the way everybody else does, you're out of the group. You're not part of the village. You're not part of anything. You can't participate. You're a bad person. You're evil. You deserve to be eliminated.
Let's talk about some compassion. Is it compassionate? Let's take the homeless. Is it compassionate for a judge and for the ACLU to continue to push that these homeless people have more rights than the citizens do, and that you can't take them off the streets? Is that compassionate to those people? What does that gain those people? What would be compassionate would be to hold our politicians and our judges and the homeless themselves accountable, so that those people that are not to be accountable, for example, the mentally ill, can get some help. The people that are to be held accountable, for example, the drug addicted, the alcohol addicted, or the people that are just plain lazy and want to live on the streets. By the way, the population of 18 to 22-year-olds on the streets has grown like 30% in Los Angeles. So why? These are people that just don't want to do anything else and they want a free ride. This is not
exactly.
compassion. So by holding people not accountable, we are being the opposite of compassionate. And this talk about changing labels, as Ava said, and this does not mean that we are compassionate. This is another word that they use to label everybody and to make you think something different than what is.
When we're paying a person $70,000 a year mm-hmm. to scoop up human excrement,
that's right.
okay, we're putting hundreds of millions of dollars every year into just one city. Now, this is going on all over America, okay? Mm-hmm. This is a perfect model for socialism. It's the perfect model to look at, the homeless crisis, okay? The drug addiction crisis. This is the perfect model. How well have Democrats done with this? You take
and
a look
Ava,
right now.
To your point, where is those billions of dollars that have been spent? Where is it? Who's accountable for that money? Because I'm not seeing anything happen from it. Are you?
No, and Baltimore can't even account for $18 million that mm-hmm. they spent. So, I mean, this is just going on all over the country. We have no idea how bad this really is, okay?
That's it.
And somebody has to stand up, and Mr. Trump, President Trump is doing it, and he's being lambasted for it by the press. But don't be fooled, okay? Do not be fooled by the fake press in this country, because what Donald Trump's trying to do is the right thing. He's trying to institutionalize people that need to be institutionalized.
Absolutely.
They cannot care for themselves. This is horrible what we're doing to these people. And they're living in rat-infested, disease-ridden places. I mean, we can't have this in this country. We just can't.
First of all, the left thrives on chaos. So they
They want the problem to fund.
Right, exactly, because they just need more money and give them more power so that they can do nothing. But once we stop teaching responsibility and people are not responsible for their actions because there are no consequences for their actions, we live in an anything goes society, and that's what we're living. We are living the results of today. There is no responsibility for your actions. You can do whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. You can accuse somebody of heinous crimes without any evidence, and that person will be charged. So we have this going from our schools all the way up into our court system. And that's where the changes have to come. And that's why I keep on harping on the idea that, yes, we have this liberal garbage in our schools, so let's do something about it. Just because it's there doesn't mean it has to stay there. Nothing is forever. And if we don't take that kind of an attitude, imagine, now I was thinking of this the other day, how many millions of people came into this country illegally? Imagine if the right, if the conservatives got together, took back the schools and forced conservatism to be taught in schools with a real American history, all of those immigrants, quote, illegal and legal, would then have a good taste of what America was really all about, and they certainly would not vote for socialism because that's where they came from.
We reap what we sow.
Exactly.
And what we need to do is we need to vote in our local elections, on our school boards, in our city councils, in our local elections, in our state elections, in our federal elections. We need to get these people out who are causing these problems. The 15 top governors in this country were all just voted on, and the 15 top governors, every one of them is a Republican. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they tend to be more fiscally conservative, because they don't go out on these crazy limbs like a Gavin Newsom and, you know, just waste everybody's money. Their cities are not crime-ridden and homeless-ridden like the Democratic cities are. Can people not see what is happening in their society and vote appropriately? We are so hung up on labels of Republican and Democrat, conservative, liberal, that we can't see through the trees to vote for who is the best person who will be accountable to the people that voted for them.
You know, this segment here, what made me think a little bit is when Ava started to put out there about what our cities are really looking like. I guess when you think about it in these terms, people, that is kind of a gateway to socialism totally. And I guess we all need to look at that a little clearer now, don't we? Huh? Really? I mean, but again, you take a look at what we're talking about with all the schools and the system. I don't know. There are a lot of people that are just willing to let this thing go as far as it can go. And then, of course, as I always say, we get to what I call the tipping point. I guess it all depends upon where the tipping point is for you. I mean, I think for me, I think we're at that point, clearly. How much more can we take on, really? So then I want to say back again, you've got to have a conservative-minded agenda to really see this country through. I mean, unless it is you're looking for, really, a Venezuela-type country. Which, I mean, nobody can really, most of all of us, and certainly our listeners, cannot imagine an America that is a Venezuela, right? I mean, as I say, that doesn't even seem possible, does it, people? Yet, when you look at the stats and the numbers and you see what's happening to our big cities, that's the gateway and that's the appetizer for what is coming. And then you see with the millennials, the people in power, almost 60% would favor socialism. And then people, is it no accident that you've got 20-some-odd liberal, socialist, Marxist candidates, and they're struggling just to find a moderate in there. And the best they can do is Joe Biden. Now you begin to do the math of everything I just said, and then ask me the question, Well, Malcolm, are we at the tipping point? No, I'm just sucking down a couple of martinis at the beach, people. Everything is cool here in paradise.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from? Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills. The good-tasting gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut, not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free. And you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company, Healthy Cell, will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of AmericaOutloud.com. We're back here. We're talking today, friends, conservative women on education, accountability, and now running for political office. You've met Karen Schoen, Linda Martinelli, and now, of course, Ava Armstrong. Ava's a political commentator, radio personality here at America Out Loud. She is a great author. Her books are all on Amazon, and they're on America Out Loud bookstore. Ava is, I just hear all the time the compliments about you as an author. So we need to take a moment and celebrate that, Ava, you know?
Oh, thank you.
I mean, well, we have some great authors. You hear me talk about that a lot lately when I talk about Ilana and I talk about the books, right?
I'm a conservative author. That's even more of a unicorn.
Well, that's like a unicorn, isn't it? It's almost like a conservative teacher. Do they even exist or what? I mean, come on.
Very hard to find.
Well, I question where the conservatives are. It looks like they're all at the bank cashing their money from their business endeavors. I don't know. As long as they don't mind their kids all being corrupt, I guess we're all cool, Ava. In the country going to hell, and you don't mind them taking over everything else, everything's fine. You know, you see how I get so sarcastic when that comes up, Ava, you know?
Yes.
It really rips me up, though. You understand what I'm saying when that happens, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, though. Conservative women will be the antidote to this disease we have in America right now, okay? We will save you.
You know, I like what you say there, and I'm going to tell you something right now, and I believe what you say. And when I have these shows with strong women, and we have the kind of women we have associated with America Out Loud, Abram, we invite them on the platform like today's show. You know what? I support that, what you say. And I think they are the window of this opportunity to get back our principles and our driving mechanism here of what we've got to do. All right, let's talk about running for political office. So how are we doing there? What's happening, Ava? What's the latest, and how are we doing?
Well, I picked up an article today on The Federalist, and I'm going to tell you about a young lady who's 26 years old, and she's going to be running in the Illinois 14th District, and she is trying to counter the socialist agenda pushed by a young American congresswoman called The Squad. The article is very interesting. I would point anyone to it if you want a moment of you know, excitement and happiness to read about this young lady and what she's taking on. She's conservative. She's 26, and God love her.
We got to get her on the program here, don't we?
Yep.
That's what you said earlier. Yeah.
And there's lots just like her.
Yes. And there also are many Muslim women who will be running, and they are Democrat. And I could go chapter and verse on this as quite a list of them.
Well, hold on now. Stop there a minute. Let's talk about that a moment here. Now, hold on now. We have a couple in Congress now that have gotten major, major headlines for a couple of for freshman representatives. It's absolutely, truly amazing. But they have really taken over the political agenda, and they've had more written and talked about for them. And they know they're doing that. So now, obviously, Abraham, assuming this has empowered a lot of other Muslim women. What are we talking in numbers? How many are you talking? You're talking 2 or 3, or you're talking 20?
Oh, 100.
Get out of here.
No, I'm serious.
Of Muslim Democrat women who are running for political office. Let me ask you this. Are there any Muslim conservative women? Or is that an oxymoron? Does that even exist?
That's an oxymoron. That doesn't exist.
All right, I'm just asking. I don't know. Yeah, all right.
Well, I'm reading from an article. This is The Hill, I believe, that I'm reading from. It's as many as 90 Muslim American candidates ran for statewide or national office this election cycle, which was in 2018, okay, the midterm election.
All right.
Roughly 50 of those candidates remain after primaries, according to the AP. However,
do we have any idea how many are running in 2020?
But there are still 9 Muslim congressional candidates up for election, according to JetPAC. That's a nonprofit group that helps train Muslim American candidates. Hmm. 18 others are also campaigning for seats in state legislatures, mm-hmm. and 10 are running for statewide offices, according to JetPAC. So there are they have two big funding mechanisms to get these folks to run. So that's one thing we need to really do is focus on conservative women. I have no problem if a woman that has Pakistani descent wants to run and be a conservative, then I'm all for that.
Shouldn't we have some rules here in our country? We talk a lot about assimilation. First of all, you got to understand, everybody, that as human beings, we're very tribal. We're very tribal. We like to hang with like-minded people. That's what everybody does. I'm the only oddball that likes to hang with all kinds of unicorns, okay? But mostly people are tribal in nature, and they like to hang with like-minded people. And so we don't assimilate. There's a lack of assimilation in this country going on right now because of this tribalism effect, I believe very much. But the bigger challenge now is with these women that want to run for office, and then they take the oath of office on the Quran and not the Constitution or the Bible. That's a problem, isn't it, David?
Yes, it is. And there was another person who was sworn in just recently she refused a Bible. She had I don't even know. It was like.
But shouldn't we have a law that says you can't do that?
I think so. I truly do.
Well, why don't we? What? Where's that? Why don't we have that? We should have a law right now. Let's get a petition up there in Washington. We want it outlawed. You cannot take the oath on the Quran. Simple math. Karen, why don't we have that?
Because of diversity, because nobody reads the Constitution, because most of them have no idea what our laws are about. If we did, then these people, the minute they open their mouth, what they are actually saying becomes treasonous. It's an 180 from what the Constitution says.
It is a total 180.
No.
Yeah.
It is a total. So how can you support a total 180 from the Constitution when we say you're going to support the Constitution?
Why are we allowing it to happen is the bigger question. Why are we allowing it to happen? Because in the last election, they did it. They took the oath on the Quran. Why are we allowing it to happen is the question you have to ask.
Because they have merged together with the Democrats, the socialists, the communists, they have morphed into one.
They're no longer Democrats. Isn't it time? Listen, I've renamed the party already. I call them the Socialist Marxist Party. Linda, I don't see them as Democrats anymore because the party of JFK, that is long dead, buried, gone. That's like ancient history now. It is a party of Marxist socialists, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, back to your question as to why they allow them to take the oath on the Quran. Well, because we have to be politically correct, and they are so
calling you out.
Don't call me out. I'm not politically correct, and you know that. But it's they label everybody, and Nancy Pelosi stood there, and Chuck Schumer stood there while these people took their oaths, and they did nothing about it, and they didn't complain about it, and that's where you have the problem. Is the leadership is part of the problem? So no. Oh, everybody is so afraid of being labeled, and they've got the whole country afraid of being called racist, homophobic, everything, that we just capitulate to everything that they want. And to Ava's point with the Muslim women that are running, I actually read an article that I thought was really interesting and kind of scary, that there is a concerted effort in this next election to have these people running, because that is how they will infiltrate and start to take over our country. Don't forget that if you've ever read End Times, that we are taken over from within, not from without. And this is all part and parcel, because a lot of their beliefs, and I'm with Ava, that if they're conservative, great, I'm all for it. But a lot of the beliefs of the people, as you can see in Ilhan Omar, are not in concert with our beliefs.
Well, no, they didn't assimilate, Linda.
No.
They don't believe in American values.
And they want more and more so that they can be the ones making the rules. And
well, they want to bring their countries with them, Lynn.
This is the point, Malcolm. This is the desire. So as far as getting more conservative women in politics, I mean, conservative women, I feel that, again, and I've said this before, that I think women don't want to be in that limelight of this politics of destruction. When the media comes after you for every single thing in your life, women just don't want to be involved in that. Now, some women, you take a Hillary Clinton, she could care less. But most women don't want to be involved in that. And women are, in fact, still raising families. And please don't discount the effect that good women, good conservative women, have on their good conservative husbands. They can be the wind beneath the wings. They may not need to be in the limelight. I am all for, you know, thousands of conservative women running for office. But ultimately, I would like to see us stop this politics of destruction of people who do run for office.
Well, I'm going to be straight with you, Linda. I don't think we're going to be able to, let me just tell you something right now. Well, I don't think we're going to be able to stop it.
No, I agree.
Let me hear me out now. I don't think we're going to be able to stop it if we want to make change. And let me explain to you. This message you all gave earlier, well, and I think Ava said it actually, well, conservative women, they're polite. That's just a lot of hogwash. That's rubbish. I mean, the point is, if we're going to be polite, and back to your what you say about destruction, you know, and I've been saying this in recent shows and programs, and I know it sometimes it doesn't sound right because, you know, we're talking about, well, we want to advance the conversation, we want to advance humanity. But what does that mean really at the end of the day, people? Does that mean we lay down on a railroad track as the train runs us over, or do we stop the train somehow from coming? And what does that mean? Well, that means sometimes, Linda, we got to get a little in your face. And the point is, if they're going to get in the gutter and do the kind of stuff they're doing, let's call it what it is. And they're going to destroy the country. And they're not doing it in the closet anymore, by the way. There's no more closet politics. It's all out in the open here. So let's call it what it is. And I'm going to tell you something else, Linda. If people listen back to this conversation we're having right now, and I don't care who listens in or whatever, and I always say invite your Democrats in, your moderates, your left of center, 100% I want them here. But here's the thing. People who listen to this show right now, the conversation we're having right now, there's a piece of the population who would call us racist, xenophobe, sons of bitches. You know that, Linda. That's what we'd be called, and then some. And yet, really, we're just having a conversation about patriotism, about conservatism, about saving America, and about the fact that we don't want to give the country over to people who put their hand on a Quran and celebrate Allah. I mean, what's so hard to understand about that, people?
There's nothing hard to understand. And having run for office, that is one of the biggest problems of being thick-skinned enough to be able to handle all of the things that come at you. And I do remember when I ran for office and someone asked me about a Muslim and a Muslim presence. And I said, the only question that I would have to someone running in opposition to me is, where do you stand on female genital mutilation? And that usually shuts them up.
100%, Karen. Karen, 100%.
You have to be able to ask the hard questions.
Like I'm doing with you all right now. That's right. You can't be like an FGM and be running for an American office. Sorry. You're 100% right. That's it, man. Okay? Doesn't work. And then we have to ask ourselves this question. Why is conservatism such a disease to these people? Ava, why is conservatism? I mean, it sounds very common sense and logical to me. Maybe it does to you. Why is it such a disease to these people? Why, Ava?
I don't think it's a disease. I think they have been so brainwashed by the left. I mean, they believe their own BS, okay? And that's a bad thing. I base everything I hold true on facts. And I should make a t-shirt out of this. Always stand on principle, even if you stand alone. That's a quote by John Adams. And that's where I'm coming from, okay? The things that I have inside of me, there may be 10 or 12 or 15 or whatever, things that I will not compromise, okay? And that's what makes me strong. That's what makes me who I am. These are principles that you have. And you're not going to squander them, or you're not going to water them down or change them for anything. And I think conservatives don't run like that today. They run like a Romney conservative. You know, you want to please everybody. You're not.
That's not a conservative.
No,
that's a no. When you say that's a moderate, a Romney moderate, you mean?
Yeah. See, yeah. For me, there is really no such thing as a moderate conservative. You're either conservative or you're not, okay?
Well, I think they use that for people, you know, in the middle or something, right? Is that it? Or like, well, hold on. Some of them maybe have liberals. What about someone that's got more liberal social issues or values?
Yeah, you're more libertarian and conservative, but that's kind of where I am too, you know? I'm more libertarian in some ways than I am, but I'm really, really a conservative when you get down to it. And so you have a race right now in Raleigh, North Carolina, okay? The election will be on October 8th of 2019.
Okay.
And you have Zainab Balash, a 28-year-old Muslim of Pakistani descent, okay, is running for the mayor of Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wow. Wow.
And I found that very interesting. That was something that I picked up and read today.
I mean, I guess some of this conversation at the end here, Ava, in a way has turned into almost a conversation about Muslims and politics, you know?
Well, I think they're being very well funded by the left. I just want to put that out there as a, you know, something people should be aware of. And, you know, they have all the leftist talking points. And eventually, if we allow this to continue, America will be all leftists. If Congress is all leftists, and we get a leftist in the White House, and guess what?
Right.
The courts are already leftist.
Well, that's what Karen and Linda are always writing about, what you're talking about right now. In fact, quite frankly, it's the message of almost all of our experts on the platform. They're concerned with the conversation we're talking about right now. But again, in a politically correct society, and in a society that is diverse, as they say, Linda, the problem is that people are not embracing these values. And, you know, we talk a lot, but I try to get to the point of impact where the rubber meets the road, Linda. Like, okay, what is it going to take to get more conservatives to run for political office? What is it going to take for more conservatives to teach in the classroom? What is it going to take for more conservatives to buy social media companies or to buy media outlets? What's it going to take for conservatives to get their heads out of the sand?
Well, I think in some ways, Malcolm, that is happening. We're starting to see some backlashes against, for example, in the homeless situation where people have put up with it and put up with it. Now they're really starting to not put up with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still tend to believe that the entire middle of our country, short of the left and right coasts, is full of people like us on this show. And I really believe that people are getting sick and tired of seeing what's happening, and that they're going to have to make a point where
are they just quieter when you say what you just said?
Quieter.
Are they just quieter?
We are definitely quieter. We are people that are working. We are raising our families. We're going to church. We're doing our thing in our lives, and we are not the guys out standing on the street corners screaming out loud. But those people that are on the street corners screaming out loud are a minority. They're just much louder.
Yeah.
I think that this election cycle is scaring people, because if you see that Joe Biden, who is one of the only moderates running, his points just dropped dramatically, and now the far leftists are very much in the race, and that's got to scare people, and people are going to have to wake up and take notice. We do have some very good conservatives running, Malcolm. And we just need to support them. We need to donate to them. We need to do whatever we can do to support them, support and
get the word out. And that's why, you know, I love a platform like America Out Loud, because that's what we're doing here, is we're trying to get the word out to people of, you know, what's going on for real in this country.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people tuned out right now.
Well, they are tuned out. So, let me give you the final word here, people, as you hear again from the voices here of Karen Schoen, Linda Martinelli, Ava Armstrong here. The idea was here on this program is to bring strong conservative women voices to the forefront here and talk about some of these more challenging and difficult issues. And certainly education, accountability, and running for a political office are high on the list of challenges within the movement, if you will. But you know, there's something impractical about all of this that really disturbs me. As I listen to the program here today, and once I play this back and I hear it again, people, on, and we all listen to this together, I think it should be a wake-up call to everybody to understand what we're talking about. A lot of the conversation we just had would not be considered politically correct, number one. You know that. You know darn well what I'm talking about there, right? It would also, we're not playing to the favor of diversity or what they're looking for. We're drawing a line in the sand. And we're saying, well, no, you have to use the Constitution and the Bible to take your oath. You can't use the Quran, or you can't use some other foreign document. Sorry, it doesn't work that way in America. There should be a law against that. And that should be, that's, you know what? Again, this whole thing about assimilation and people bringing their countries with them. And it really is the gutting out of America. As you see our cities decline from left to right, left coast to right coast, right? And you see what's happening, people, here, and you see the values that are being decimated. I have to continue to ask you, you know, where are the conservative voices? And I hear a lot of tiptoeing around, well, they're polite, they're this, they're busy raising families, Linda says, they're doing this. I think that's all a bunch of minutia, quite frankly. And for you people that are out there saying all that, but you're not willing to get involved in the game, I'm going to call you out, because I think it's a bunch of minutia. If you're going to leave the entire education system to the far left socialist, Karen always talks about the education system. Well, great. But why have we left it to the leftists? And then you expect, well, my kids are being taught some bad policy. Well, no kidding. What the hell do you think they're going to be taught? The conservatives are not in there. Well, the social media is all, we're all being censored. And well, no kidding. Who owns it all? Well, the universities are being run by, well, no kidding. Who runs all that? Well, all the networks on television are all, well, who owns all that? And then you'll say, well, but we don't have a voice. You know, do the math, people. I mean, it's a little sick at some point. You got to ask yourself, why? Why is that? I still don't have a real answer here. I don't buy this whole polite thing or their home raising families and stuff like that. Something's wrong here. And we've got to find out what that is. Because the fact that we've given all that power up should leave you all a big question mark in your minds today. It's a real quandary as to what we're doing here and what kind of a country we want, what kind of a life we want. As you then say, well, we were polite, we did it right, and we have a lot of money, but we got no power because they took it all over. Well, you damn fool, what the hell do you expect? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know, there's something wicked about this story. Something wicked here, people. And on that point, if there isn't ever a rallying call stronger than this, I don't know what it is. But it is time to get involved and get loud.